Welcome to Pivoting to Web3 Podcast, where your host and your guests are going to express to you the opportunities and limitations of Web3 technologies, where they win, and sometimes it could be a downward spiral. So check in with Pivoting to Web3Podcast.com and stay abreast on what's happening now. And here's your host, Donna Mitchell. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Pivoting to Web3. And today I have Emmanuel Rose. Now, Emmanuel Rose, he is somebody that I have been wanting to talk to and was glad to get the opportunity. He's in everything everybody needs. Leads, leads, leads. Lead generation, digital information, branding, everything in marketing and his perspective towards what's happening in AI and Web3 technologies. So therefore, let's talk to Emmanuel Rose and get some insights, the diverse insights that he has and his diverse background in lead generation, marketing, and branding. Emmanuel, say hello to everybody.
Well, hello, Donna. I appreciate the opportunity to have a conversation with you, and I think it's going to be a great talk we're going to have here.
Oh, it's going to be an exciting talk because the most important thing that everybody needs right now is a lead, a real lead. How did you end up getting into the lead generation? I have some ideas, but why don't you tell us, with everything that you have written and had experience with, how did all this start and how did you end up moving with AI when that came about?
Well, that's like seven questions in one, Donna. I'll do my best to stay on top of it. I started out in business when I was a kid, teenager, wanting to help people and, you know, connecting. We did lots of things. I grew up in a working class family, so I cut lawns when I was 10 years old. I did landscaping when I was in high school. And my first business was a mail order business that was a clothing mail order business. And I've just always been excited to find something that somebody else needs and to be able to help them out. And so fundamentally, that's what I am about. And the technology over time has changed dramatically, right? We used to go door to door. We used to send letters by the USPS with a stamp on it. And now we have an enormous number of AI tools that can help us if we use them correctly.
So with that said, for those that really don't understand where we were and where we're going, how did it evolve? What was it about digital marketing and lead generation over the past 25 years? Because I really want everybody to get a handle on what we've come from so they understand where we're going.
Well, we came from going down to the library, picking up a book of companies, and flipping through the book, finding their address and a contact person who may be still at the company, may not still be at the company, and then mailing them a letter. And then we got fax machines. And through all that, we were always making phone calls and going to trade shows and trying to connect to people directly. But it was something that it would take 3 or 4 or 5 weeks to even have from a first activity to an initial conversation. And now, as you know, it can be instant. You can send 1,000 emails. You can make 1,000 phone calls by an AI voice caller. And in 15 minutes, you can have people who've opened, clicked, set appointments, people who've answered the phone, had conversations, and it's an instantaneous connection. The time savings in some ways is dramatic. In other ways, it still takes time to create relationships. And that's the consistent part of being humans involved in business.
So there's some distinct advantages in what we have today. You save time. You can start the relationship sooner than later and probably make more money. So with those challenges that we had in the past and with AI you're doing today, what have been some of the big advantages and insights that you have found?
Well, the AI tools are phenomenal, and you're probably using a bunch of them for your podcast, right? Like Opus Clips, where you take 30 minutes of video, and all of a sudden you've got 10, 30-second clips that are well orchestrated. So there's a leverage that happens from these AI tools, and time savings from that. But you still have to have good input to get the output that you want. And I think we're seeing an avalanche of really bad marketing because there's inexperienced people or lazy, what I call lazy marketers, who aren't doing the work on the front end in order to get good output in the AI tools.
So what would you suggest in going forward? If somebody's in business, they want to look at AI, they're interested in leads, how do they go about finding, you know, the right tools, or what tools do you suggest, and what do they actually do with the lead generation and digital marketing today? Where does that really intersect?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think we're still fundamentally content marketers. So that part is consistent. We have to generate some content that is valuable to the ideal client profile. So that's the first thing, is to use one of the generative tools to create a content calendar and say, this is my ideal client. This is who they are. This is the role they have. This is my business. Here are some keywords that I have. Generate a content calendar for me. And then from there, build some content. One of the fundamentals that I do with my clients is we build an ebook. And it's 30 to 60 pages on whatever the primary trend is in that top, in that vertical in this year, right? And so we established some leadership. And I don't like the thought leader moniker. I think that's worn out, but we're providing leadership. And that's what we do as consultants and business owners. We're leading people who don't know how to do what we're providing the service for. So that's the beginning, is the content marketing. And then from content marketing, then you have to do your outbound, and B2B, the outbound is a little simpler. We have a little fewer rules in the United States. We can still do some cold emailing. We can do, LinkedIn connecting and DMing, but the part that separates good marketing from bad marketing is that we're providing value to the prospect at every step. And so that's why the content is important, because I want to have video or an ebook or a blog post that is helping them solve something they know that is a problem, or that they don't know that is a problem that you're bringing to the front of their mind.
So let me back up somebody that might be listening. There's two questions. One, the customer and connecting with them, it sounds like along that journey where you're providing some type of content that moves them forward in the relationship or in the eyes of the customer. But you made mention to, which brings us to me, that the second piece, you the U.S., but is it any difference for outside? Because a lot of the people listening or doing business is global and worldwide, either living in other countries or doing business in other countries. Can you share some light on that as well?
Yeah, we're humans, right? Everybody's got the same fundamental, which is I have a problem, and I've either started to do my research for solutions, or I need to start my research to do some solutions. And that solution is either a DIY product, I'm going to take care of it myself, or I'm going to hire somebody, and then I need to manage that person in order to get it started, so that I know that it's working. So that is a fundamental. The ins and outs and the laws and the mores and the way that we talk to people, that's different in every geography. I mean, you can be a lot more direct in Asia than you can be in the EU, for instance. And you've got different laws about how you do outbound email, for instance, in the EU than you do here in the United States. So those subtleties are regional, but the fundamental is, humans have a situation, they're getting education on it, and then they're figuring out how to solve it and doing it themselves, or they're hiring somebody.
So when you look at this landscape of everything that's taking place, and you look at the machine learning and everything that you've been involved with, like some of the insights, what are like your top three issues that you may have that are your hot burning issues that you'd like to see on your wish list? Or if anybody's coming into this and they're nervous about it, or a business has to make some adjustments, what are your recommendations? What do you think people need to keep their eyes on? Or, as I usually say, keep your eyebrow raised on.
Well, I think the first thing is that AI has been with us for a long time. We know it's been with us since the 50s. So it's not new. We get a lot of hype. And if you don't know about AI, or you don't have AI tools, pick one area in your marketing that you feel like is weak, and then go and find three tools that solve that problem in that area, and just test them and see which one you like to work with and which one produces what you need on a timeline and on the budget that you need in order to get an output. For instance, I've researched all of the, there's the primary generative AIs, the chat and the Bard and those Gemini. So, you know, which one of those do you like to use? Do you like Claude? Do you like chat? Which one's giving you an output?
What's the difference between them?
Well, it's the way that they're programmed and what they're referencing and how much they're able to get and from where on the web. And
can you share some examples? I'm sure somebody else got this question just like me. Can we go?
Oh, sure.
This is a teaching channel as well, so we all want to know. We're not the geeks of the world. We're the people. We regular folks.
So what I've found, and this is my experience, is that ChatGPT is very good in general, and it tends to be, let's say, a more colloquial set of answers. Like if you're going to say, tell me about the Vikings and write me a 1,000-word blog post about Vikings and how Vikings are similar to marketing in 2024, right? I'll get a very general piece that maybe is targeted for about a 10-year-old, where Claude will write a college-level version of that. And so from the same prompts that I'm creating. So it's very personalized, and I'm not making general statements. I'm making general statements, not specific. So I don't know any more than that.
Well, I like Claude. Claude was pretty cool. I needed a lead generating piece.
Right.
And the way I wanted it set up, ChatGPT couldn't do it that way.
Right, exactly.
And because of the way Claude, and I'm still high surface now, I'm trying to figure it out too.
Yeah.
I asked the same prompt, and I put it in there. And it understood it.
Right.
And it did it and broke it down into terms and everything else. And I loved it. At the end of the day, it was really the top 100 terms in AI, blockchain, and Web3.
Right.
Perfect. I used it as a lead magnet.
Yeah.
And it came out beautifully, all organized, all set up. It went to the right categories. Couldn't get the others to do that, but I figured I really had to understand why, and I didn't have time to check, so I kept going. For that answer.
Well, I like it. So that's what I'm talking about. That is, we're keeping it duct tape simple, and we're pushing forward, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to be an expert on all of them. I just got to find the one that works for me.
Yeah, so that's what I did.
And
that's,
I love it.
You really helped me with that. Thank you. There's somebody else out there that knows there's a difference. You all experiment. Go for it. So. Yep. As you move on into the world of AI and everything that you've written and the lead generation, is there anything that keeps you up at night? Like, is there any ethical issues or moral issues? What do you see happening since you're in that bigger, high-level evaluation space or the insights that you have? What concerns you? What's out there that might concern you a little bit? Well, maybe not a concern, just something that really, like, you think about is like, they can do this, or this country is using this for that.
I think the biggest thing is like, you know, what we saw with the image generation that happened from Google recently, where it was basically rewriting history, you know, where people are saying, you know, put in a or generate a picture of the Vikings from the 1600s. And it wasn't relevant or historically accurate, the images that were coming up. So there is a the threat that we are going to rewrite history, that somebody who is controlling the algorithm and the outputs is going to rewrite history and lead humans into a direction that is that's dark and inaccurate, and we're going to forget some of the things that we've learned collectively. That's probably the biggest thing that I'm concerned about.
Okay, so you answered that real nice, like.
Thank you.
And I'm going to try to answer this question real nice, like. I like this conversation. I really do. So my question is, so you have situations taking place with reality, and you have situations taking place with facts that aren't real, and then you have people believing due to lack of critical thinking in some arenas, not everywhere, but for some whatever reason, they believe what they believe. So if you believe what you believe, and that's your fact, now that's a fact today. So this could make our situation here worse than what it is in comparison to other places and spaces. Well, they're not having that issue for whatever cultural reason, and we are. So this could really continue us down the path and journey that we're on.
I mean, yeah, I'm with you. It could take us into another dark ages kind of understanding of the world, right? Where, you know, in the 1100s, when it was only the priests in Europe that could read and write, everybody else was not allowed to. If we only get fed what somebody wants us to know, then that's a danger when we don't have access to information and be able to critical think and draw our own conclusions and fully formed on philosophies that exist besides on that dominant narrative.
Yeah. Okay, so since this isn't a political show and it's not a show on critical thinking or anything else, so let's lift this back up.
All right.
It's getting kind of heavy, and I don't want to leave everybody in the basement. So let's lift them back up. And let's talk about some of the predictions or the big things that you see that can happen that is really going to lift society and move us forward with the shite and bright, with the bright and shining stars. What do you see? What are the?
I think these tools on the marketing side are amazing. They are in a lot of ways time savers for the agency world, the work that I do every day, in terms of generating ideas, generating content calendars, coming up with initial drafts, being able to attach all my books into a GPT and then say, answer this question as if you were me. And then pulls out core philosophy and can answer or generate a content calendar or pieces or summaries of based on that profile of my past work. So there's a lot of leverage in that, and it is a time saver. And then that frees me up to do other things.
So when you have clients, you have a digital agency, yes, you'll have a client or an organization that comes in, and if they have a certain brand, value, mission, vision, or tone or approach or avatar or customer or client or personalization or trend that they're looking for, you can feed the information or set up the content in that way to satisfy that one particular customer with AI?
That, to me, that is the best use of it, right? Is to take previous work and then generate future work based on the previous work. And so you're containing it in a very narrow space in order to stay on brand and on topic. And the other thing is that I use a platform called Aivia, AIVIA, and it's encrypted and secure, and it's separate from the other spaces. So all the content that I create is safe. Nobody else is going to be able to see it or use it. So, and I highly recommend that everybody get into a platform like that, so that if you do put in personal information or theoretical or draft or forward thinking content, it can't get grabbed by somebody else and used either as from a competitor or nefariously. We got to encrypt our content just like we encrypt our financial data.
Okay, so now I've got another question for you when you said that. So they have these platforms out there that I've been exposed to, and people have asked me about that kind of give the opportunity to create, you're kind of feeding the bot, you're feeding the AI with who you are, your age, your race, and all your information, what your hobbies are, what you're doing, how you're doing, if you're doing. Right. Yeah. Put it that way, your brand, and they split you from business to personal. And so those bots and those, I shouldn't call it a bot long term, that AI that you're using at that time, you're saying that could be vulnerable to cyber attacks or theft of information. It's still the Wild Wild West. I want to interpret this for everybody. So you're going on, y'all.
Unless you're using a platform that is specifically encrypting and keeping your information private in a walled space, then everything you put in to a GPT can be called on by somebody else.
We're going to have another show soon, okay? So I want to be respectful of your time. What else is there that you would really like to talk about that you're doing or any projects you're involved with that you'd like to share with everybody in regards to what you're doing with the lead generation, digital, no matter what it is, anything you want to share, what you've got going on that I'm going to like hearing?
Absolutely.
Tell me everything you want to know. I don't want to stop talking to you yet.
There's so many great platforms out there, and the cold email space is really interesting. And I'm testing three different platforms right now where we're sending, we input information about the company, about success stories, about who our ideal client profile is, you know, the web properties that are on our brands. And then, you know, the AI goes through and generates a series of emails and reaches out, and it's very clear if somebody interacts with us, says, yeah, I'm Emmanuel's AI assistant. Here's some more information and here's his calendar. And so, you know, we're able to outreach to hundreds and thousands of people, depending on how, you know, how much velocity we need, and have the AI generate content to do that, and then generate calendar appointments.
Wow. I didn't know that existed like that, where it could be walled off. I always wondered.
Yeah.
I didn't know who to ask. I'm glad you're on the show. Anything else?
Yeah. And then the same with voice, right? You can do that exact same thing with a synthetic AI that sounds like a human. Goes through the phone call situation, and they answer questions and either do a immediate handoff to somebody on your team or schedule an appointment based on interest. So those are powerful time savers and allow you to reallocate your HR resources to taking care of your clients, which I think is the critical part.
Now, what books do you have out now? Anything new?
Let's see. My most recent book is Authentic Marketing in the Age of AI. And it's talking about how we maintain our humanity in leveraging these tools. And then I have a book that's called The Secrets of the Magic Rock, which is about how to disconnect and why we should all disconnect from technology and spend time by ourselves in nature on a frequent basis in order to maintain our humanity.
I believe in that. Those silent retreats work. I haven't been on a silent retreat in some time. Nice. I enjoyed it. I usually go to Canada.
Perfect. Yeah.
For that. And that there's a lot to be said. 2 weeks. Initially, I thought I couldn't do it, and then I didn't want to leave.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah.
If you have natural farming, and it was just really great. So how can people connect with you and follow up if they're interested in learning more or becoming a client? How can they connect?
You can find me at emmanuelrose.com or look for Emmanuel Rose on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect with you.
Emmanuel, I'm glad that we had you here today. I got a feeling we're going to have you back. This has been an awesome conversation, and thank you for being on Pivoting to Web3 podcast. And everyone, I hope you have a great day, good afternoon, or good evening. Thank you for listening. We're shaping tomorrow together.
Thanks for listening to Pivoting to Web3. At pivotingtoweb3.com, make sure you hit the subscribe button so that it gets to you with every episode that comes out. We have lots of great opportunities, limitations, and downward spirals being revealed by our guests. And thank you in advance for all your reviews and comments. I appreciate you so much. I look forward to serving you in the next week's episode.